Hello, and welcome to a very special playoff edition of the Clippers Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Kay, and I'm welcoming in a special friend and special guest, Carrick Burke, the sideline reporter for the Golden State Warriors for NBCS Authentic. Carrick, hello.
Hi, it's great to talk to you.
I know, it's so good to connect, and I'm so excited that the playoffs have brought our two teams into circling each other, so to speak. Here we are between games 2 and 3, and kind of an unexpected turn of events, a hugely unexpected turn of events in game 2.
Yeah, I don't think the Warriors saw that coming either. The 31-point lead evaporating. So, because the Clippers won by 4 points, that was a 35-point swing, the most in NBA playoff history. Oh my goodness, what a game.
Absolutely absurd, and it kind of added some drama and fun to a series that most people had pegged as a clean sweep right off the bat.
Yeah, this is a really interesting 1-8 matchup. The Warriors know that they're so heavily favored, and I wonder if that's given a lot of freedom to the Clippers to be like, well, we've been the underdogs all season. Let me show you what we can do. And they did. They showed everybody what they could do on the Warriors' home floor. That's a big deal.
Take me inside the Warriors' locker room following that loss and what the mindset might be moving forward, or their general approach to the remainder of the season, which is now home court advantage for the Clippers.
Yeah, I'm getting that question a lot. What was the mood in the locker room? And the guys were ticked off at their performance. And Andrew Bogut said, you know, the mood is S-H-I-T. You know, he just laid it out. And he said, it's good that it's like that because that shows we care. And of course they care. It's the playoffs. So I think the Warriors are grappling with, one, that kind of a letdown performance. How come they had the focus and the intensity for most of the game but couldn't close it out? And foul trouble had something to do with that too. A whole bunch of factors. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, they need to have, as Steve Kerr keeps saying, appropriate fear of the opponents that they're playing.
I love and, that. What yeah, a Kerrism.
And he said it comes from Greg Popovich, but the appropriate fear. And the Warriors play better when they're threatened. And the Clippers have threatened them. The series is even now.
Now, one thing, though, I did see kind of come out of that game performance, something from Anthony Slater, a wonderful writer for The Athletic, is kind of documenting how this specific roster and team, this version of the Warriors, handles frustration in moments of adversity. How do you see that either being an obstacle for them moving throughout the postseason or something that they can maybe use to even make them stronger?
Are you talking about motivation or complacency or just the things that they've dealt with this season?
Maybe that when things aren't going well, that they don't keep their temperament, so to speak. He referenced a Draymond Green reaction when being called out when he was being subbed out when he was playing particularly well. And I mean, I know Green is an exception in and of himself, but have you seen moments like that from this team?
I think, you know, the players are all dealing with their own individual things. And then as a team, they're trying to reach the finals for the fifth consecutive year. Okay. So when you've done it 4 years in a row, that is an extra season on your legs. And they're not complaining. Because who doesn't? Everybody wants to reach the finals, but it's a reality that they're dealing with.
So it's exhausting.
There's physical fatigue, there's mental fatigue, and when you know how to be a champion, when you've won championships for 3 out of the 4 years, when the coaches tell you to do something or suggest something, it's kind of like, yeah, we've heard it before. So there's some, you know, it's cutting through with the right voices at the right time. And the Warriors as a locker room are good about talking to each other, or actually the flip side of just not talking, not kind of beating a dead horse with, here's what we have to do, guys. Like they know what they have to do. And they do have a very intense desire to make history with a three-peat. Everybody is on board for this. The locker room is still cohesive. You know, I'm not sensing any fracturing off one bad game or the other games, the letdown games they've had in the regular season. I think that they know what this moment in time is, and they're ready to seize it. And even if there are a few speed bumps, everybody's all in.
That's such an interesting point of the talking versus not talking, knowing what to say and when it needs to be said. I feel like epitomized by the image of Steve Kerr handing the clipboard to the huddle, right? It's like, You take the, like, knowing when enough is enough.
Yeah, when the guys are, he likes to say sometimes they get tired of my voice. So, you know, they've got to listen to each other. And that clipboard game was when the Warriors were playing the Suns. It was at the end of the season, not this year, but last year. And it was one of those kind of shake it up sort of things. Like, how do you keep the guys engaged against an opponent that's struggling in the dog days of the NBA when everybody just wants to fast forward to playoffs? And I think that's why Steve Kerr should get some credit for his ability to sense the room and to change things up, and to be a chill guy. I mean, he's outwardly chill, but you've got to remember that he does have he's got like a temper.
Yeah.
Not a pushover. And that's why sometimes, you know, when you have some fiery personalities like Draymond and Coach, you know, they might talk it out in loud voices, but there's always love at the center of it.
Yeah, and you need that. You need the communication on all fronts. Now, you've been able to see these young upstart underdog clips for two games up close and personal. Now, what impresses you about them?
They don't give an F, you know what I mean? They know exactly who they are. They've done this all season. Was I reading that stat that they have like 9 comeback games where they've had to come back?
15. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that insane?
Scrappy. Yeah. And they're built really differently because when you have, you know, Trez and Lou coming off the bench, that's like a second wave coming at you, like another punch. I think it's just it's a really unique situation to have that. They play very physical. You know, these games have featured foul trouble on both sides. And then there's the relentlessness of Patrick Beverley.
Oh my gosh.
So it's a really special team with, you know, a pretty great coach. And it's been really interesting to watch to see how the Clippers are reacting to stuff and standing tall and playing their game.
It's hard not to want them to succeed because they are just such a fairy tale in terms of what they've been able to accomplish and overachieve on so many levels. And I want to get your thoughts on Patrick Beverley, because having been in Oklahoma City and spent time there, you know, he's enemy number one from his past with Russell Westbrook. But now seeing him on the flip side and what a galvanizing force he is for this Clippers locker room, it's like every team needs a Draymond Green, a Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Pat is playing that game within the game, and there is an art to getting under your opponent's skin, and he does it very well. I mean, he's got to sacrifice some things, like he fouled out in the last game, but I think when he fouls out, he would be happy with his performance, like mission accomplished. I was a wrecking ball in this game. And when he does that, like, he's not a liability to his own team. I don't think the fouls are making, you know, the Clips angry, but you see their impact on the Warriors. And, you know, it takes a special kind of guy to be that kind of antagonizer. And then afterwards,
oh, he's
you
a
know,
pest.
So, afterwards, so plainly, he's like, I'm just trying to be the best Pat I can be, the best defender I can be. So he's one of those guys that you hate to play against, but would love to have in your room. And he's really made a mark on the series.
I know this postseason run is young for you as a reporter, but from what you experienced last season to now, what's different?
Who, like personally or with the Warriors?
I guess both. What do you, has anything felt differently? Like I said, I know it's only two games in, but, or just being around the team, is there a more business-like approach, knowing, like you said, that they're on the brink of history? Or what could maybe the Clippers capitalize on in an opening round?
Ooh, you know, the Warriors, they know that they have this roster for this moment in time. Things can change. You know, they have a collection of free agents. So it is that seize the moment feeling. They recognize that they have, or had, unfortunately, because DeMarcus Cousins got hurt, 5 all-stars in their starting lineup, and that they are so difficult to guard. I mean, we heard Doc Rivers say, he was asked a question about how do you deal with DeMarcus Cousins, and he's like, well, first we got to deal with the big three of, you know, Steph, Clay, and KD. So it's just a nightmare, and the Clippers have done really well with that. This season, I've seen the Warriors maybe struggle a little bit more with the flip the switch idea. I'm not sure where that's coming from. It could be fatigue. It could be, you know, just getting everybody to engage at exactly the same time. And in the last game, in game two, when they built up that 31-point lead, that was a product of being engaged. And then with that kind of lead and some of the foul troubles, you know, you sit the main guys and now you're deep into your bench and then you start to see the Clippers come back. So there were just all sorts of like ebbs and flows to that game. And then by the time the starters came back in, you know, they were out of rhythm. I think Steph was 1 of 8 or 2 for 9 in the fourth quarter. So there's just a lot of wonky things in that game. Plus the Clippers playing really well. Got to make sure you give the credit to the Clippers there. What I'm trying to get at is that the Warriors have had ebbs and flows in games. They've had ebbs and flows and like just periods on the schedule where they'll go win, win, loss, win, win, loss, win, win, loss. And then they sort of have to jumpstart themselves again to be like, oh yeah, we've got to play all 48 minutes every single game. And that's really tiring. That's tough for anybody to do. They keep getting back to this idea that it is tough to win games in the NBA, and it is extraordinarily difficult to win championships. They are not anointed the champs this season. They have to earn it, and they know it, and they're taking their lumps along the way.
Yeah, and a loss could be a wake-up call in a big way. Like you said, nothing is given, everything is earned. And I guess talking X's and O's, where do you see – I know that period of the second quarter where you've got Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell out on the floor and – where do you see the biggest weakness for the Warriors and the thing that the Clippers can take the most advantage of?
Weakness, I think it would just be a difference for games 3 and 4 in the rest of the series that DeMarcus Cousins is not out there.
Yeah.
And he is a bully. He's a paint patroller. He wanted to have a better game too. His injury came on a steal, right? He was locked in early and then like, yeah, you know, he's got good hands. I'm so sad for him. I'm so heartbroken that, you know, this is his first playoffs in his career and he only got a game and like 5 minutes in game two.
Go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, I mean, just all the work, the, you know, reaching this pinnacle and to have it end so abruptly, I'm sure the team is feeling for him as well.
Oh, there, you know, everybody knows his story. They know that what he's gone through. Because DeMarcus was really open about some of the dark times that he went through. You know, this Achilles tendon injury took him out of action for pretty much a year, maybe like 2 weeks shy of a year. There was all this build up to the return. Now you return with the Golden State Warriors. There's a different level of there's a different scrutiny on this team. And then he was excited to go into his first playoffs of his career. And now he has another long-term injury. And it just hits like a gut punch. The guy said, you know, at halftime, they really wanted to, when I was talking to a coach, they're like, we really want to win game two for Boogie. And they didn't accomplish that. So, this is like a major change sometime in the playoffs, but injuries happen, unfortunately. I wish they were not a part of the game, but the Warriors will have to deal with that going forward. So I don't want to label that a weakness necessarily, but it is something that really changes up what they do because they've spent this whole season getting ready to incorporate DeMarcus,
yeah,
and now, you know, he's out. That's a big shakeup for the playoffs.
And Andrew Bogut is, I mean, as
he's
great
back.
Of a guy. Yeah, he is back. But, you know, especially when Trez is playing the way he is, it's difficult.
Yeah, it is. So the Warriors will have to rely on Andrew Bogut and Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney is peaking at the right time. He's putting together some great games. Looking at that game two box score. Hang on, I've actually got it right in front of me. 19 points, 6 of 6, and then 7 of 8 from the stripe. So he's doing really well. So Bogut and Looney and maybe a little bit of Jordan Bell and possibly Draymond Green will play at center.
Yeah,
and that's tough. Trez is tough. But, you know, but Bogut came to the Warriors as an insurance policy just to have an extra big body, and now they need to use him even more.
Oh, the Andrew Bogut playoff role. but yep. So, I guess looking at the series moving forward, do you think the Warriors take care of business in five, or is it, are we looking at a 6-game series here? One more trip for Kara to LA?
Oh God. I want to give the Clippers credit. I absolutely hate making predictions. I hate it.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I hope that's okay. You know, knowing the Warriors and how they play well when they're threatened, I think they want to punch the Clippers right in the mouth again, the way that they got punched. So game three, I think we're going to see an incredibly angry and focused team. Because what's that old cliche? Anger. It's not a series until you win on the road, right? The Warriors need their opportunity to win on the road. But I think the series is going to have a lot more eyes on it now when people see the way that the Clippers won and they see their spirit and their, you know, we don't give an F because we know who we are. We are solid within ourselves. And we did take down the champs in this game.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by this series and it, even more reason why I don't want to make any predictions.
Totally acceptable on your part. And I'll tell you, the Clippers are hoping one set of eyes in particular, maybe two sets from, I mean, we know Kevin Durant will be engaged, but maybe Kawhi Leonard is eyeing their scrappiness, you know, and looking at this team more and more as an enviable landing location. So,
yeah, I think they've made that declaration really well. I think they've got a lot of good things going on in Clipperland.
Wonderful. Well, Kareth, I'm so excited to have you in Clipperland, speaking of which I know you have a flight soon. Where can people listening find you and more importantly, read your work, listen to you, etc.?
Yeah, I work for NBC Sports Bay Area. I write a mailbag every Friday. You can ask me questions using the hashtag AskKareth. I'm at Kareth Burke on Twitter and on Instagram at WarriorsKareth.
The woman of many talents, Kareth Burke, thank you so much for your time. I will see you shortly here at Game 3.
You got
3.
It, Nikki. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks again for listening to the Clippers Beat podcast. You can find this pod anywhere you get your pods at or on clnsmedia.com.